you turn once again to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A very familiar psalm to us, especially here as we've looked at this psalm now for a couple of weeks. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. May we be most attentive to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far, the reading of God's word to us this morning, may he add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of it. I'm going to repeat that last verse because that will serve as our text this morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we take our final look at Psalm 23. Previously, we saw what the Good Shepherd does. He leads you. He feeds you. And this morning, how he further blesses you. We noted at the outset of our meditation on Psalm 23 that as a professing Christian, we must know, assent to, and trust that the Lord is our shepherd. So this psalm is generally known as a psalm of comfort, but it is also a psalm of confidence. And David is proclaiming that the Lord is my shepherd, that God is always with him, that God is always providing for him, that God is always guiding and protecting him. There is not a time, place, or moment when God is not his shepherd. And the same is true for us, for the one who confesses Christ. We, the sheep, trust that the shepherd will lead us. The sheep doesn't tell the shepherd where to go. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, we follow the shepherd. We hear the shepherd's voice. We know this from John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. He leads us and he feeds us first and foremost by his presence. Jesus knows the needs of the sheep even as they descend into the valley of the shadow of death. And his personal descent was like no other. He experienced the anguish of hell. He was sacrificed for our sake. He, as the good shepherd, laid down his life for us, the sheep. We saw that he leads us by and feeds us with his word. And that's the law and that's the gospel. The good shepherd disciplines us. He corrects us. He supports us. The rod beats the enemy, but is also used to discipline us. The staff of the good news leads us to paths of righteousness. Beloved, we are provided. We are provided the physical and spiritual sustenance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And last Lord's Day, we saw how that rich imagery ultimately points to the greater provision of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the church of old ate the manna and the water, well, we eat of the better covenantal meal. We eat what the good shepherd provides here at the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which is a glorious representation of his sacrifice and of our redemption. We could review his leading and feeding much further, but we come now to our final point, the shepherd's work. He blesses you in his pursuit of you. That's our single point. He blesses you in his pursuit of you. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What I enjoy so much about this verse is the Hebrew translated to English says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that's okay. That's fairly accurate. But the Hebrew word for follow is a little bit more intentional, with the emphasis being pursue. Now think of the Psalms and the historic exploits of David as recorded in redemptive history. That man was often on the run, being hotly pursued by his enemies. Psalm 7. O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. Or how about Psalm 143? For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to your refuge. I think David has got a handle on what it means on being pursued by the enemy. And oftentimes, he was the pursuer, like Psalm 18. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock, exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. See there, he was the pursuer. So as the prey and the hunter, the psalmist David understands all the nuances of being pursued and doing the pursuing, which makes verse 6 so special. You are being pursued by God's covenantal blessings. You are being pursued by God's covenantal blessings. And you can't hide. You can't hide. Not that you ever would. Who does not want to be lavished by the blessings of God? And surprisingly, there are those who say, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve God's covenantal blessings. And they try to deflect them because, as again we saw a couple of weeks ago, people like to bask in their misery. Don't make me happy. I want to be miserable. Now, to some degree, we don't deserve, obviously we don't deserve at all God's covenantal blessings. None of us have earned God's favor. And that's what makes grace so amazing. It's coming anyway, because he has chosen you. That we, with our wretched souls, should be picked up and placed on paths of righteousness. Beloved, let me put it this way. You can't outrun God's love and mercy. Try as you might, you can't outrun his love and mercy. In this past week after Vacation Bible School in Garner, Iowa, I brought home a load of heavy landscaping rocks from a pile that was at my son-in-law's home. Now, these rocks rise from the ground, from the fields that he and his family farm. And we got the loader out to drop them in my pickup. And we've done this many times before, but this time my son-in-law got a little too zealous, shall we say, and put too much rock. And so we overloaded the truck for the drive 2.5 hours back home. And on a very busy patch of Highway 35, the left passenger tire on my truck blew out. And so I had to negotiate. I had to hold on to that wheel as we went back and forth, and those boulders behind me were going back and forth. Oh, this is going to be interesting. How am I going to get control of this vehicle? And by God's grace, I was able to get it to the right shoulder. Well, it wasn't much of a right shoulder. It was a bit of a steep downward decline. So I got as close as I could and waited for the tow service. It was amazing to me that with my flashers on, how many semis and cars didn't go to the left lane when it was open. And my daughter was with me, and she embraced the rattling truck as each vehicle whizzed by. Shoom, shoom. That shoulder was pretty narrow, and cars and trucks relentlessly came in our direction. Beloved, that's what God's grace and mercy do. His goodness rushes to you. But here's the good part. It doesn't pass by. It comes right to you. And I told my last VBS class, you never know what the next day, hour, and second will bring you. I didn't know I was going to have this horrible experience on Highway 35. But you can be assured of this. No matter what predicament that you are in, the good shepherd's blessing will be upon you. And as would be, the tow service guy, the owner of the service, was a Reformed guy. Well, Baptist Reformed. And as we were negotiating the price, I said, well, you know me as a Reformed pastor because I was wearing a Emmanuel Reformed Fellowship shirt. And he was giving me a hard time being from Pella because he was from Linden, Washington, another Dutch ghetto. And he had some thoughts about that. And he had some thoughts about Pella. But so I knew I was not going to get a good deal. But he said, well, I got you out of there, didn't I? Yes, he did. By God's grace, you were just the means. A very expensive means, but you were the means. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the conclusion of this psalm. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, beloved. Wow. Now, what does this psalm tell us? It's not telling us, and he shall live happily ever after, but showing us where he will reside forever, a place where the word happily can never begin to describe. Dear friends, we simply do not have the biblical data to show us where this psalm fits precisely in David's real-world context. We don't have that data. But we have what we need. You see, this psalm is about movement. It's not about being stationary in life. It's not a static psalm. It's about movement. It's not about placing the proverbial stakes in the ground and calling it, I made it. I have arrived. No, this psalm has motifs of exile, deportation, and death within, showing that we are the sheep roaming in a land that is not our final resting place. But we are not roaming aimlessly. That's the beautiful thing about this psalm. We're not going here, there, and everywhere. We're being guided by the shepherd. Why do you think this psalm is read at so many funerals? Do Do we really want to think that the hole in the ground is the conclusion of it all? That the dash on the grave marker in between our birthday and death date is the summation of our existence? That's it. This psalm brings us hope. It brings us real hope grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Psalm 23 echoes of Exodus, much like what Moses did in leading the Old Covenant church out of captivity. We see the sheep being brought through the wilderness into the promised land of Christ. Today, we are the sheep of his pasture that are being led and fed and blessed by the one who gives us eternal rest in him. Don't get too comfortable on this side of his kingdom, this world, for the blessing is eternal security. This is why so many saints in foreign lands went happily to their death, confessing Christ. Because the alternative was to denounce Christ, and maybe you can live. But what kind of life would that be? His blessing is his eternal security. You are his. The blessing is that you are not your own. And when we not see that, we get anxious, we get stressed, we lose our way. We become that sheep going a little bit different direction. And that's when the shepherd takes a step and brings us back to that path of righteousness. Now listen to these words of the prophet Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush as Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That's what God says through the prophet Isaiah. I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. Beloved, our Lord is gathering his sheep as we speak. We may be in this room right now, but you know that the gospel has gone forth and there are people discovering his grace today by the Spirit and the Word being proclaimed for the first time. Our Lord is leading them, feeding them, and he is blessing them just as he has led us and fed us and blessed us. As we come to his table, we find those very things in the elements of this sacrament. The elements signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, exactly what the sheep needs, reminding us of what he did and what he will do. Again, lead you, feed you, and bless you. He has fulfilled his covenant promise of sending his son. We have this bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his sheepfold. God is showing you that he is God and that he is faithful to fulfill all of his promises. For he has indeed provided the high priest who became the sacrificial lamb and who is now your shepherd. Again, leading you, feeding you, and blessing you. So as a sheep, we are called to know. We are called to believe. We are called to trust his shepherding through the Spirit and Word. Despite any circumstance you might find yourself in, he will be there. And we're called to live out that faith in renewed consecration, in gratitude for his salvation, for his saving you. You were that sheep that fell down in the pasture, and the wolves were all circling around you, and he liberates you, picks you up, and sets you free, and beats off the wolves with his rod. And so may we then confess our pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ, and base our hope of eternal life upon his obedience and righteousness, and humbly resolve to deny ourselves our old natures. Do you know where you will be tomorrow? Do you know where you will be tomorrow? You may very well be on this side of the kingdom, or you may be translated to the next side of the kingdom if you have confessed Christ. And we may make our plans here and continue to make our plans here. We want to be stewardly with the gifts God has given us. We want to raise our kids. We have tasks ahead. We have goals ahead. We have projects ahead of us. But ultimately, all that pales in what he wants us to do. And that's to glorify him with what he has given us. A sheep thankful to him. So follow Christ, our good shepherd, as becomes those who bear his name. You are his. You are Christian. Let's pray.